Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
What you need to know is brought to you by Morongo Casino Resort and Spa. Good times, just the 90 minutes from wherever you are.
Take it away, Lynn.
Thanks, Adano. What you need to know is that we've got another Friday afternoon police chase.
It is on.
Bad boys, bad boys. What you gonna do? Got a stolen vehicle pursuit on KTLA. It looks like it's like some kind of work truck. You guys got like a pickup with some...
Yeah, looks like the rear door from the pickup truck is like down, and there's like 2x4s in the back of this thing, and they're strapped down.
I'm seeing it right now. They're on Imperial. They're in Norwalk.
I mean, I'm a big fan of the Friday afternoon police chase radio.
It seems like it's now a
back-to-back weeks.
Yeah, exactly.
George, I think the next time you do play-by-play of the police chase, I think you got to do it as Kevin Harlan. Yeah.
He's going over the median on Imperial Highway, going on the opposite end of traffic. Now hangs a right on Hoxie Avenue.
He's doing 72 miles an hour, and now he's driving across traffic and directly head on into traffic. Yeah, somebody stop that man!
Way. What's he doing? Why would you drive the wrong way?
He's driving the wrong way again down Hoxie Avenue.
He's got a gray truck, looks like a Toyota, with four-wheel drive type tires on it, with 2x4s in the back that could come out at any moment.
He's now jumping on the 605, it looks like, or at least going under the overpass.
I think dueling Harlans is going to be our new thing. I really do.
Yeah. We should do it for him.
Oh, 100%. We have to have Mon and do it for him.
That would be really funny. We need to do that, for sure.
Dueling Harlans as a triumvirate.
Oh, my God. Now he's jumping into, like, a dirt median, like, off the 605, off the 105.
What is he doing?
Yeah, what is he doing?
Exit 17. He's driving on the dirt. He's headed towards Downey.
It's not a Jeep, man.
Oh, man.
What is he
just
doing?
Like me.
Oh, my gosh. She's tearing that car, that truck apart.
Oh, the car's not going to make it. No. Yeah. Why is he driving? What is he doing?
Like, he's literally driving in the middle
of
trees.
Oh, and there's a cop car right there waiting for him. And now now there's like a little canal ditch. He's not going to get past that.
What an idiot. That is a dumb move.
Oh, he went underneath?
Oh, no.
He's going underneath. Underneath in the canal now.
This is like
Come
Greece.
On, don't, I can't lose the picture here, KTLA. Stay with me, people.
Is that
the
river?
The chopper can't do it because he's underneath the 105.
Oh, my God. He's going four-wheel drive now up the side of the canyon into the dirt. Wait, is that the river?
Like, you know, in Greece when they race on that thing? The aqueduct?
What is
it's like a canal, yeah.
Oh,
but I don't see him getting out of there. Like, he hasn't moved.
He must have sunk.
Or maybe the car stalled. When he went down, because that's a pretty steep drive down.
Maybe that's why he's got those 2x4s to build a boat.
This is very creative. Very creative driving.
Right, because the helicopter cannot see him. And you could potentially get off on foot there and like just go stay underneath the overpass.
Wow.
I want to know where he's going. Like, what the heck? The anticipation.
This is quite a picture we've got here.
There was something that just scooted out from under there. Is he on a motorcycle?
Yeah.
On a bicycle?
A bicycle.
No, but it may not be him. That might have been. Oh, there he is on foot. Just like I told you, he's running under in the canal, between the canals, under the 105. There he is. It looks like he got off on foot.
Yeah, this is not going to be as exciting as last Friday, I don't think.
No, there was a lot more driving last week.
Yeah, that was going on for like a good hour and a half.
Yeah. I wonder if the guy on the bicycle was like, what the hell? That guy looked like he was pedaling really fast, too. So he was probably just trying to get away.
Maybe he's swimming. What's this guy doing?
I don't know. He's hiding under the underpass right now.
Yeah, until they come get him. Like, then what?
He could be walking under the underpass and over the overpass, and we won't be able to see him because of the angle of the helicopter, which is, I guess, in theory, pretty smart.
Yeah, but the cops know where he is.
I mean, they do, but he could just, I mean, eventually he's got to come out from under there, but he could hide for a while. Anyway, he's in Downey now, by the way.
Really? Officially. Just like me.
Anyway, that is what you need to know, brought to you by Morongo Casino Resort and Spa. Good times, less than 90 minutes.
He's in Downey, just like me.
Yes. Cappy.
Sir.
Let me ask you a question.
Go ahead.
Do you think at all that AD and LeBron watched that game, and they seemed to be pretty into it, particularly with Austin.
Yeah, especially late.
As he was, right, finishing and closing that game.
Mm-hmm.
Do you believe that there is a potential advantage? Oh, there he is on foot. He's walking. Oh, the camera's got him again. He's in trouble. He's walking into a homeless encampment now.
He's completely given up. He's not even like speed walking.
He's not running.
Strolling.
Yeah, he's just walking. And well, that's pretty steep stuff, Lindsay. So I would imagine he's winded.
And do we know that it's him for sure? Like, I mean, maybe it was because he did go down that embankment, and there was like a homeless encampment down underneath the freeway. Like, I don't know if we know for sure that's him.
It could just be an innocent guy who's like, "What? I didn't do
it
anything."
It could be.
Yeah, like I'm getting out of here. I don't want.
But they seem to still have the camera right on the guy who was walking. So you know, there's that. Anyway. Do you think there's any part of them that says, because, you know, you're a little bit removed from the game and says, huh, that's an opportunity for us. There's a guy on an ATV now. I don't know if that's the guy. Like, they don't know which guy, to your point, is the guy.
Right.
But do you think there's a potential for, hey, with us kind of sitting back and watching, we can kind of take a look at how we can make this work with this group?
To answer that question.
As observers.
Yes. Right. I think it's a great opportunity because, you see, most people, I think, they think that the reason LeBron and AD didn't play is in some way some form of protest. I don't like what's going on with this team. Maybe I don't like what's going on with this coach or this front office.
So you don't think that they're both, I mean, AD has suffered from hip issues this season.
Of course he has. Of course he has.
And LeBron has had an ankle thing all season. So you just think they're doing it as a form of protest.
I just think that LeBron, listen, LeBron should have taken off on Monday for sure after the amount of effort he had to put in on Saturday night against Golden State. And he definitely shouldn't have been playing on Tuesday if he played on Monday. I mean, you got to give a 39-year-old guy a little bit of a breather. Okay. Especially, by the way, against teams like Houston and Atlanta when you know you're going to be playing a big game like last night on national TV against Boston. So in some ways, I think that people think that LeBron, based on all of his cryptic tweets, that perhaps in some way this was his form of protest by saying, hey, everybody, I told you to do your job. Go do it without me, okay? Let's see what happens when you go do it without me on national television and you get completely humiliated. And then all the guys play their best game. And the ball movement last night, George, this is real analysis for you right here. The passing, the movement, the spacing, all the things that you've talked about, It was better last night. I would argue that all players on the Lakers, other than LeBron and AD, know their role. Their role is pretty simple. Get the ball to AD, get the ball to LeBron. And if LeBron happens to give me the ball back, I'll be doing my job. Having them sit on the bench and watch these guys play good team ball and play with a lot of heart maybe gives LeBron a chance to breathe a little bit and go, you know what? Maybe I need to trust my teammates a little bit more. Maybe I need to ask more from them and not try and put them on my back all the time. I'm not saying that's exactly what's happened or that he might even see it that way. I'm just saying that maybe that's a possibility. What do you think?
Yeah, maybe. Or he just looks at like, hey, this can work with this player in this scenario, X, Y, and Z. Yes, I do think that there could be something to that. I don't think he was doing it to let them just sink on their own. I don't buy that for a second.
Well, it's kind of like what you were saying about Darvin Ham, about how the organization is like watching him drown, you know, and no one's really sending him a life preserver.
Mm-hmm.
In some ways, when you play the way LeBron played last Saturday night, and dude, look, he put in a lot of effort to win that game. And remember, Golden State's not that good. So to play into double overtime, I want to say the number on LeBron was like 44 or 48 minutes. He had to put in a lot of effort and a lot of energy. And then to play back-to-back Monday and Tuesday, it doesn't surprise me that he doesn't play Thursday, but it's Boston. So, you know, you could have missed Monday and rested, or you could have missed Tuesday and gotten your legs back.
Right, but what if it didn't hurt?
Okay, then you know what? Benefit of the doubt. The guys earned the benefit of the doubt, no question. But because of the cryptic tweets, because of the everybody do your job, because of all the talk that we've been going through all week long about who's playing, how many minutes, and who should be and who isn't, in some ways, you just think that LeBron is sending messages at times.
Sure, I agree, but I don't know if he would do that by sitting. Like, I think clearly he's sending messages by saying what he's saying. Like, I don't think he needs to... Why would you? Why would he need to do that if he's already said as much?
Because you're playing against the Celtics on national TV. You know it's the Lakers' rival. You're not happy with the coach. You're not happy with the front office. You're not happy with the roster. You're pissed off at your teammates. And then you just say to everybody, go ahead, play without me. See what happens. And then they actually play their best game against the best team. And it kind of surprises everybody. How did that happen? Because I'm telling you right now, Austin Reeves turned into Captain America last night. I say it like that because he was on this USA team, and he has not been the player that he was a year ago. And last night, when this team needed somebody to step up and be a leader, he was the guy that took that role. I mean, he became Steph Curry last night. His shots were insane how deep they were. And over guys, and in, you know, the clock is running down. He's throwing up crazy shots. He was amazing last night.
He was great.
Do you think the pressure was off of them because both of them sat out?
I mean, well, there's no pressure in that scenario. Exactly. Like none. You have nothing to lose in that game.
There's no pressure because no one expects you to win, and there's also no pressure.
They were 15.5-point underdogs.
Right.
And the Celtics are 28-0 when they've been 15-point favorites or more, dating back since 1990.
But Big okay? D, when you say no pressure, it's no pressure of everybody thinks they're going to get killed. And it's no pressure of, without LeBron and AD, we can just play. We don't have to, like, have LeBron bark at us, give us the stink eye.
Oh, well, listen, man. But here's what I would say. Boo-hoo that LeBron is barking at you, okay?
Listen, I'm not feeling sorry for those guys. It's his team. It is his team, man.
Like, let's not be silly here.
No, no, but I'm just saying.
You're supposed to be a professional. Like, who cares?
But did they play looser? Because they weren't having to run everything through LeBron.
They played loser because, to DeAndre's point, they had nothing to lose. The pressure was squarely on the Celtics at that point.
DeAndre, is that what you think?
That's exactly what I'm going with, man. Because, I mean, you can tell that they were able to play with spacing. They were able to shoot the shots that they wanted and any shot they were able to shoot. I mean, they were able to do kind of what they wanted to do, man. I mean, there really wasn't no strategic game plan because they just went out there and defended. They were in the passing lanes. They just played loose, man.
And did they play loose because the pressure was on the Celtics and they had nothing to lose, or did they play loose because LeBron and AD were not?
The pressure was definitely on the Celtics, man, for sure.
But what about not having to run everything through LeBron and AD?
I mean, you're gonna have to run the plays, dude.
Well, who are they gonna run it through if they're not there? I mean, it is what it is.
That's my point. Is we don't have to worry about those two guys. We can just all play.
Right. Okay.
I'm not saying, listen, George, I'm just telling you that I'm giving you another perspective.
I get your perspective, but see how well that perspective works over an 82-game sample size.
Well, you know what? That would be interesting.
No, it wouldn't be. It'd be really bad. We've seen this movie before.
I'd actually be curious to see a couple of games with LeBron resting right now.
Okay.
You got how many? I think you got two games remaining between now and the All-Star break. Okay,
see how many games they could win without LeBron and AD over a season. I bet you they would be a lottery team.
Okay, well, guess what? They're a 500 ball club right now, and they've had LeBron.
Okay, but they'd be way worse, is my point.
Well, I'd like to see it at least for a few games, because here's why. I'd love to see LeBron, especially right now. Bro, get healthy. You got this game against the Knicks coming up on Saturday night. I saw Stephen A. today on First Take. The Knicks are going to wipe the floor with the Lakers. They're going to destroy the Lakers. Okay, so guess what? Take the day off. Take off the game at Charlotte. You've still got to play Denver. I'm just trying to think of how many more games there are here before the All-Star break. There's probably five games before the All-Star break. You know what? Now would be the time to rest up, get healthy, so that you can possibly make a run.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
When you're on a business trip, you know what goes completely off the rails? Your workout routine, especially when you book a hotel that doesn't have a gym. So what ends up happening is you do a few push-ups and sit-ups in your room, run around the block, or just skip it entirely. lame. If you just stay at La Quinta by Wyndham, you'll discover there's a fully equipped fitness center at every location. Now you can wake up and power your buys and tries the right way or de-stress with some cardio. The choice is yours. Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
In the second half of the season.
Is that what you want to say to them when Rob Pelinka invites you to do one of those talks that he invites famous people to do?
You know, when Rob Pelinka invites me to the Lakers to do a TED-type talk, mm-hmm. I am down. Double D. You hear that? Big D? I'm double yeah. D. I walk into that locker room. I go, LeBron, listen to me, my dog. You take some time off here. Austin Reeves, D'Angelo, you don't want to be traded? You guys step up. Give this 39-year-old man an opportunity to rest his body to make a run here in the second half. Cover for him. That's what I say right there, George. That's motivational speaking for you is what that is.
Excellent, in case you didn't know. I'm sure that'll work out great for them. They should sign you up right away.
I'm available. I am available, and I'm offering.
Speaking of signing up, you've been doing a great job getting people to sign up for Prize Picks, and I'm curious what your Prize Picks are for today. A little Oscar de la Hoya.
Now coming to the ring, Oscar de la Hoya.
See?
I used to love when Michael Buffer would really, really, really go crazy with everybody's
name.
And
do the Hoya.
Really? You know, George,
yeah.
Oscar's going to be making his rounds on Radio Row next week in Vegas, you know.
Oh, is he? Oh, I'm sure. Yeah, it makes sense.
I got an email from his PR guy. Hey, you want Oscar on the show? You going to be on Radio Row? I'm like, yes, but no. Meaning, yes, I want to talk to Oscar, but no, I'm not going to be there. I will be there virtually. How about that? Sit him down in front of a computer and let me talk to him.
I mean, I do that. If he wants to come on virtually, I'm totally fine with that.
Yeah, so we'll see what happens.
All right. Let's see, Cappy.
All right.
Cappy, Brock Purdy.
Yeah.
Made a lot of noise. Two comebacks in two playoff games, okay? Now, I'm not saying this is for everyone. But, you know, in the NFL, there's a lot of teams who their head coach is an offensive-minded guy, like a Kyle Shanahan, right? Mm-hmm. Sean McVay, et cetera, et cetera. If you're one of those teams, let's say Kyle Shanahan and the Niners win the Super Bowl.
Okay.
The NFL is a bit of a copycat league. Do some of those other offensive-minded coaches, I'm not saying that they willfully play a guy who was drafted in the seventh round, but they look at it and say, maybe we should be more into developing guys that we take in the later rounds to see if we've got a diamond in the rough there.
Well, let's just think about that for a quick second. Why did Brock Purdy become the starting quarterback of the 49ers?
Because Jimmy Garoppolo got hurt and he stunk?
Yes, and there's another layer to the story, right? Mm-hmm. Because what's the kid's name? He was the kid from like North Dakota State or one of those kinds of schools. He barely played in college, and then he was a first-round pick. What was this kid's name? And they traded him to Dallas last year. Come on.
Oh, Trey Lance.
Yeah. Trey Lance, right. So they drafted a guy in the first round who they thought they were going to develop.
They traded up to get him.
And they realized after like two seasons, you know what? We don't think he's that good, and he can't stay healthy. And you know what? Because we were desperate and we had to play the first-year player, a rookie, who was drafted in the seventh round, who when we drafted him, we were like, maybe he's a practice roster guy, maybe at best. Now all of a sudden he's thrust into starting action, and oh my God, this kid's balling on a budget. By the way, DeAndre, did you hear the way I said that?
I did, yeah.
See, that's why Austin Reeves and D'Angelo Russell want to hang out with a guy like me, because I say cool stuff like that. Balling on a budget. You feel me?
I feel you, Doc.
Okay, thank you, man. Appreciate that. So, George, your question is, will other teams look into the latter part of the draft and go, you know what, we don't have to draft a guy number one overall. We don't have to draft a guy one, two, or three. We can go get a guy like, I'll give you an example, Aiden O'Connell for the Raiders. I'll ask you this question, George. Who would you rather have as your quarterback right now? Aiden O'Connell or Zach Wilson?
Real quick, what's the easiest choice you can make? Window seat over middle? Beach vacation over camping? What about selling with Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Ooh, listen to the thinking. Listen to the brain go to work here.
I'd probably want Aiden O'Connell, to be honest.
Okay,
with you.
But it's a question
really?
Mark, right?
Really?
Yeah.
What do you think?
I'm not a Zach Wilson guy. I was never, even when he was drafted, like I just didn't think he was that good.
Okay, Big D, what do you say?
I don't know. I might have to go with Zach Wilson. I don't know. Maybe, but that's
is it
a hard
close?
One. That's a hard one.
But is it close?
Yeah, it's pretty close. Bro.
Okay,
yeah,
okay,
it's relatively close.
So Zach Wilson was a first round draft choice, right? And Aiden O'Connell's a fourth-round draft choice, yes?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you have to think about that a little bit. Just because you're a first-round draft choice does not guarantee success. In fact, it's like a 50-50 crapshoot, frankly. You know? So can you find... Back to your original question, George. Can you find guys to become starting quarterbacks in the NFL who are not first-round draft choices? And will other teams give it consideration? You know what the answer is?
What?
No.
Okay.
What do you think?
I think teams should always be drafting quarterbacks. I'm a big believer in the Ron Wolf system in Green Bay. We've talked about this before. I'd always take a quarterback every year. I wouldn't necessarily take him high every year, but I'd take someone in the fourth round, fifth round, whatever round, and just because you don't have to pay those guys very much, if at all. And then I would be, all right, let's see what he's got in training camp and just see what they've got.
I think that's what the Rams were thinking last year when they took that kid out of Georgia. I don't think anybody
right.
thought he was going to be a starting quarterback, but they're like, right. you know what? This guy's got two national championships. He's got something in his body that he knows how to play ball.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And so, listen, here, you want to hear? Here's a good example for you.
Give me a good one, Kevin.
All right. You guys are going to love this. You ready? So, you know my boy AVP yesterday signed as the offensive coordinator of the New England Patriots, right?
Right. And they're going to probably take Jaden Daniels or Drake May.
And they've got, I think, the fourth pick in the draft, something like that.
I thought they had the... Oh, yeah, Chicago may have... Does he have the first answer?
Chicago has the first, yeah. Anyway, here's the thing. So
I think they have the third, don't they?
Either way, they're going to have an opportunity to draft one of the top three.
Yeah, Patriots have
right?
the third pick.
Okay, great. So my boy signs this deal with the Patriots, and I said to him, I go, dude, you need a quarterback immediately. And he's like, yeah, we do, no doubt. He goes, but people inside the Patriots were like, hey, don't quite give up on Mac Jones quite yet. And I was like, they did? Really? And the way they kind of would tell the story is Belichick just destroyed this dude emotionally, you know, and getting rid of Belichick may give this kid a chance to be decent. I'm not saying great. I'm not saying Tom Brady. I'm not saying Patrick Mahomes. But, you know, I got the sense, this was a sense from a conversation that they don't necessarily want to give up on him. I'm not saying they won't take a quarterback. They probably will.
I mean, they should.
Of course they should. But the kid may not be ready to play right away. And you may do what Kansas City did with Patrick Mahomes. You may
right,
do
you
what...
Play, he's your Alex Smith.
Maybe. Exactly. Exactly. So, back to your question. Do you take a guy like Brock Purdy in the late rounds and hope that he becomes a starting quarterback? Maybe. Or do you take a guy and develop him behind a legitimate starter?
Do you think it's a system, too, that Brock Purdy's in? I mean, the
supporting
cast that he has?
Well, I think the Shanahan system is very... I mean, the West Coast offense, for a guy who's accurate, is a perfect system. There's no doubt.
Moreover, beyond just the system, and it's a good point, it's the roster. Like,
oh,
what
right.
If,
the roster is stacked, for sure.
Right, so what if I told you that Brock Purdy...
What if I told you?
Right, this is a 30 for 30 now. If Brock Purdy were the quarterback of the Patriots the last 2 years...
No, it's not as good because the receivers stink and that's... Yeah.
Right. And if
good.
Mac Jones were the quarterback of the Niners the last 2 years...
Would they be better than he's been? Yeah, he'd be better,
right.
but I don't know if he'd be as good as Purdy.
If Zach Wilson were the quarterback of the Niners the last 2 years rather than the Jets...
Nah, he stinks.
No, I'm not so sure.
Stinky Zachy.
Nah, I'm not so sure. I mean, listen, I'm a fan, and his mom's best friend is a fan. He may only have two.
What is wrong with you?
Did you get that, D?
Are you? Is there more entendre there that, you're doing with that? Or
just want to make sure everybody got that.
Yeah. All right. You know what, Cappy?
Tell me.
I think that I would continue to take quarterbacks is my point. They're the most valuable commodity. Because think about it. When I was talking about the Ron Wolf stuff, at one point they had Matt Hasselbeck under Brett Favre, Mark Brunell, and Aaron Brooks. They traded all those guys for extra picks.
And I want to say that at one point in that quarterback room, you also had Kurt Warner.
Maybe. I don't recall that to be the case.
I mean, I think Kurt Warner was in like training camp.
Is that after
guys.
Or before the Iowa Barnstormers?
After the Iowa Barnstormers, I think. Mm. You know, maybe it was before the Iowa Barnstormers. Anyway.
Yeah.
That's pretty amazing to have that many quarterbacks in the same room.
Yeah. No, but that's the point is if you keep taking them, you're going to find those guys eventually. And they are commodities. Like, you can trade guys for more picks. It's not... It's just a smart way of doing business. And by the way, you're helping those guys out too because they're not going to play behind Brett Favre. You know what I mean? In that scenario. So, you know, you might as well give them that opportunity. You win and they win because they go to a place where they can start.
I mean, I'm literally just looking at the entire league right now to try and figure out what teams start quarterbacks that are not first rounders. I mean, even, okay, Philadelphia, a second rounder, right? Dallas, I think Dak Prescott was a fourth rounder.
Yeah.
Okay. But, I mean, again, I'm just looking at this. Green Bay, first rounder. Detroit, first rounder.
No, Chicago, majority of the quarterbacks are first round guys. Yeah. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah. But there's just, and even if I look at, you know, Tennessee, a second round guy, you know, but the Raiders, a fourth rounder who started for them this past year. And the Niners have a seventh rounder. The Niners are in the Super Bowl, and their starting quarterback is the lowest drafted player of all starting quarterbacks in the NFL. And that's unofficial. That's right off the top of my head, but I'm just looking at the list right now.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
It is amazing. You know what else is amazing?
Tell me.
That there's a guy that can help you if you get into an accident.
Thanks, Christopher. I don't know. Is Christopher an angel to you, Sedano?
Sometimes.
Sometimes.
Not to me. He's a devil.
No, he's definitely a devil to you.
Well, Cappy, you do tend to act a little devilish sometimes.
Well, that's actually a good bit, I think. Instead of Charlie's Angels, Cappy's Devils. I like
there
that.
There you go.
Who would be on your devils list?
Well, I definitely would have Chris in the middle. I'd have Big D off to the right.
What?
Big D?
What?
And then I'd probably have to have Lindsay Baseball on the other side.
I am the devil. I would agree with that one. But DeAndre's innocent.
I know. He's a good young man. But, you know, he can be influenced by Chris, I think.
Yeah.
That's true.
Speaking of influence, I'd love to influence you to try some Tequila Mandala, which Radio Tinder is presented by. Always swipe right on Tequila Mandala, award-winning small-batch premium sippy tequila made from the finest mature agaves available everywhere fine tequilas are sold. Visit their website, tequilamandala.com, and demand the extraordinary with Tequila Mandala. Take it away, Lindsay.
All right, Sedano. All right, so I'm going to do one quick one since we're super behind and we got to get caught back up. So, during last night's USC-Oregon Hoops game, the Ducks ran away with the game late in the fourth, giving Dave Pasch and Bill Walton some, you know, like extra time to chat.
I love Dave Pasch and Bill Walton. I wish I would have known they were doing the game because I would have totally tuned in just for them.
Oh, well, wait till you hear this.
Well, yeah, Bill Walton told a great story like only Bill Walton does. So here's a quick clip about him talking about the time when he played at USC and he auditioned for a role when he met George Lucas.
I auditioned for Chewbacca and they said, no, but we're going to model the character after you.
You were in Ghostbusters and people didn't know that. So again, I think there's a great chance that this is a true story. They're going to look at...
so he claims that Chewbacca was modeled after him, which, yeah, I don't know. I mean, Bill Walton, I don't know if there's like a whole lot of truth to his stories, but they're very entertaining.
Oh, otherwise. I buy it. Okay. I buy it. Why not? I mean, Bill Walton, George Lucas, L.A., Bill Walton,
it does make
UCLA,
sense.
You know, San Diego guy, Southern California guy. I totally can see that. For sure.
So
Bill Walton is a wacky dude, man. Let me tell you
something,
George.
He's the best.
George, listen, I've gotten to be pretty close with Bill over the years. You got to see Bill's house. And
yeah,
I'm
he lives
it
in
like
South
that.
South by you.
Yeah, I'm saying that like as in, like, I guess that might people be like, oh, okay, cool. Aren't you super cool? You've been to Bill's. Bill's house, he has got a drum set that was brought to his house by the Grateful Dead when they everybody came to his house. The whole band, all their families, and they were having like a big party at his house for like days, staying at his house. He got a teepee in his backyard, and he lives on this just insane piece of property. So the roadies took the drum set, and rather than it being sat down where the, you know, the floor toms and the bass and everything is on the floor, everything is up above so that Bill can stand and play.
Right.
I have ridden thousands and thousands of miles on my bike with Bill Walton, and I don't say a damn word. Bill does all the talking, and he just gets you to where you're going.
I mean, Dave Pasch does the same for the most part. I mean, occasionally he calls a play during the game.
I was going to say, he's got to love that gig, you know? He barely has, you know, he just kind of lets Bill run off with his stories like this one.
George, if we ever need a segment off, we call Bill.
Yep. Oh, my God. Let him just go. A segment, an hour. What are you talking about?
We go, Bill,
Ireland
how are
says,
you?
Yeah, Ireland says, like, oh, you just call Bill and you tell him, how's it going, Bill? And he goes on and on and on. You could walk out and go to the bathroom and come back and he'll still be talking.
You just let him go. Let him do his thing. So get out the damn way.
In relation to that story that he told, instead of having you guys swipe, which Star Wars character would you want to audition for?
Oh, Han Solo.
Well, that is a good one. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go with Rey. Sure. I love Rey. She's my favorite.
Yeah.
I mean, you got
Cappy's not a Star Wars guy, so.
No, but you got to figure I'm Luke, right? I mean, devilishly handsome, incredibly agile, you know, strong, tough.
See, that's how I think of Han Solo, though. I feel
Han
like
Solo is actually, in the first ones, I mean, Luke is the character, but Han Solo steals the movie.
Oh, yeah, he does.
Luke's kind of a nerd.
He is?
Don't you think?
I don't know. I mean, I kind of feel like, you know, he's.
I mean, he's a Jedi,
lightsaber.
So yeah, that's
he's got that lightsaber.
Awesome.
He can do some damage with that thing.
He is kind of dorky, though.
How about you, Big D?
I can see me being Mace Windu.
Oh, yeah. Come on now.
Mace
on
Windu.
Yeah, Samuel Jackson, bro.
Hey, come on now, Cap.
Dog, I'm sorry, but Mace Windu is not in the original Star Wars.
Yes, he is.
What?
Who is he?
He's the Jedi Master who runs the Jedi Temple.
He's not Billy D. Williams?
No, man. Billy D. Williams is not Mace Windu.
Who's he? Who's Billy D. Williams?
Billy D. Williams, what was the name of his character?
Wait, Samuel L. Jackson's in the very first original Star Wars?
No, his character is mentioned, though, because it's part of the original book.
Oh, well, I don't know anything about that.
He just doesn't like make an appearance in the movies until...
Lando Calrissian is his name in the movie. That's what it is. He's like, you know, Lando's basically like a...
he's a captain.
Yeah, but he's also, him and Han are kind of like, have similar like characters, right? Like, if I recall correctly, Lando is kind of like Han, where he's kind of like, you know, a little bit of a, what's the word I'm looking for?
Well, he helped rescue Han.
He did eventually, but he also led them to Darth Vader at first. So he's kind of a schemer, you know what I mean? Like Han,
that's a good
like
way
Han
to
Solo
put it.
Was,
he's
right?
He's a schemer, for sure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So there you go.
Big D, who'd you say you are?
Mace Windu.
Mace Windu, bro.
What movie is he in?
He's in
Revenge of the Sith. He's in that one.
He's in a bunch of movies.
Yeah, he's in all three of the newest ones.
All right, I've not seen any of these movies.
And he was in the first the next three, which were actually the first three.
One, two, and three. Four, five, and six being the originals.
You gotta watch it, Cap.
No, dog. I'm out on Star Wars.
Yeah.
You don't like Star Wars?
Yeah, he doesn't. Have you not been around for these conversations before?
Yeah, I just feel like it's one thing to be like, oh, like I've seen it, it's just whatever. But to be like, no, I'm not watching it.
No, I'm out. Yeah.
Okay.
He's out on Star Wars. Like I'm out on Reacher without watching it.
Right.
All right, Cappy, coming up next.
Yeah. You should watch Reacher. It's better than Star Wars.
No, it's not. Get out of here. Darvin Ham apparently is annoying Laker fans in a different way now, all of a sudden. So we'll get to that in a second. But first, tell us about your friend, Avner Gatt.
Yeah. Hey, so.
What a great song. You remember this song, Cappy?
Of course. You know that tonight, George, I'm going to be going to my favorite local music club.
Yeah.
Down here in my vacation home in South South. And they have a Billy Joel tribute band tonight.
Oh, well, that's awesome. Maybe they'll sing this one.
I'm sure they will. I've never seen a Billy Joel tribute band, you know?
Well, there you go. There's a first for everything.
Looking forward to it tonight.
Cappy, before I get back to the Lakers, I actually want to talk about the Dodgers for a second.
Oh, really?
And there's one thing that I feel like they've omitted in all this spending spree that they've, gone through the last couple months, right? They added pitching. They added two, you know, frontline pitchers. They added Ohtani, who eventually will pitch, we assume, down the road. But obviously, it was the biggest fish to get. You know the one thing they're missing?
Are you going to tell me that they didn't go out and get themselves a shortstop?
No, a closer.
Oh, all right.
Remember last year how much of a pain in the ass that was?
Yeah, it will be interesting to see what they decide to do for at closer.
Well,
you know, will they close with committee? Will they pick somebody? Will they say, hey, we got somebody who we think can do it? Will they make a move?
So unlike you, I subscribe to Blake Harris's Substack.
Yeah, but unlike you, I hang out with Blake Harris and his uncle at Yamava.
Right, which is fair, but I also pay for his Substack, so there's that.
I paid for his beer.
And so I read his Substack because it's very good, and today this one caught my attention because of that specific conversation he was having on his Substack about the lack of a closer.
Mm-hmm.
And his point is valid, which is basically like, yo, you spent all this money. Like, what do you care about adding a closer? So here he says they should go after Devin Williams of the Milwaukee Brewers. Devin Williams was in-freaking-credible, okay, last year. He won the Rookie of the Year in 2020, and his numbers are out of control. In 206 games, this kid has posted a 1.76 ERA, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And, like... And that's over 200 innings that he's pitched in those 206 games. Like, that's Mariano Rivera type stuff right there, okay? He won the Reliever of the Year award again last year. And in 61 games last season, he had a 1.53 ERA. Like, the kid is insane, okay? So, granted, the best part of this is you don't have to pay him a lot of money because he's still under contract for the next 2 years under club control, which means he's going to make very little money. It's going to cost you assets, but if you're the Dodgers who have this incredible farm system over all these years, wouldn't you go and send some of those young prospects for a guy that is going to be cost controlled for at least the next 2 years?
Yeah, it's a good point. I mean, if you think you've got a World Series team and you've certainly paid for it, so you should think you've got it, and you think that this guy is the best young closer in baseball, and you have all these assets that are probably not going to be playing in the major leagues anytime soon, and your farm system is one of the best in baseball, then yeah, then go make a move. And by the way, even if you're Milwaukee and you're planning on holding the Dodgers theoretically hostage because you know that they're desperate for a closer and you don't really want to part with this guy for all the reasons you
just
said.
Well, they just traded their best pitcher and starting pitcher in Corbin Burns, so clearly there's a fire sale going on.
Well, all I'm saying is yeah, if you're Milwaukee and you're dealing with the Dodgers and you know what they've got and you know what their goals are, hold him hostage. Get everything you can for the guy.
Yeah, sure. But if you're the Dodgers, you have an incredible amount of talent down there. Like, that shouldn't be an issue, nor should it be a deterrent, because it really is one of the few holes that you have.
I'm going to say this right now. Dodgers better win the World Series this year. And I say better, not for me, and I'm not even saying for the Dodger fan base. I mean, for all the money and improvements that they've made to a team that every single year wins the division, except 2 years ago when San Francisco had a magical year, for a team that has been so good for so long, but has, let's face it, very little to show for it.
Mm-hmm.
This is the year. And you know, you might even say it's not good enough to just win one, you know, because Ohtani's not even likely going to pitch this year. So, you know, getting back all the pitching that they didn't have last year, and then adding to it what they did in the offseason, I mean, Dodgers, it will be a colossal failure if they don't win the World Series.
100%. It is championship or bust. And by the way, Cappy, we are a week away from pitchers and catchers reporting to Camelback Ranch.
Yeah, and then before you know it, I mean, it's like early spring training. Padres, Dodgers get started playing in, like, I want to say February 23rd, 4th, somewhere in that neighborhood. And then the Padres and the Dodgers go to Korea to play two games that count on the regular season, but then they come back to finish spring training.
Yeah. Linz, we need to get Balake back starting next week, I think.
Yeah, for sure. Let's do it.
We're back.
Blake and his uncle last week at Yamava, man, they were the life of the party. Let me tell you something. Uncle is a wise guy, just by the way.
Yeah.
I don't think that's a very, like, that's kind of a inflammatory accusation, isn't it?
Not even one bit. In fact, it's a complete compliment.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, I think different things it means different things coming from different people.
Well, Cappy, I will say this. We just did real Dodger talk right there. How about
that?
That
is.
On February 2nd, we did real Dodger talk.
That's hardcore for people. By the way, you want more? George, I'm watching the NHL All-Star Challenge right now. That's the sort of deep, embedded sort of sports fan I am. I know people want to hear my commentary on the Kings firing their coach today. I'll save that for you.
Okay, let's save that. Let's get back to the Lakers coach infuriating people. Let's do that in a second. But first, guys, Valentine's.